A man once called the Henry Ford of higher education died yesterday in El Cerrito, California. Clark Kerr was 92. As president of the University of California in the 1950s and 1960s, Clark Kerr created a document called the Master Plan for Higher Education. His three-tiered system was simple. At the top, highly selective research-oriented universities such as UC Berkeley. Below that, more accessible state colleges to serve the bulk of students. And the third tier, two-year vocational schools. He called these community colleges. Kerr's timing was perfect. The baby boom was marching off to college, and his master plan became a blueprint for public higher education throughout the U.S. Neil Smelser is University Professor of Sociology Emeritus at the University of California, Berkeley. Professor Smelser has been with Berkeley since 1958, and he worked directly with Kerr. He also helped edit his recently published two-volume memoir. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for asking.
The master plan, what was going on in California and in higher education in America at that time? How did he come up with this blueprint?
Kerr himself explained it as not some mighty invention out of his head, but as an important political compromise of the time. Every community worth its name was agitating for some kind of institution of higher education in California at the time, and the legislature didn't know how to deal with it. So they proposed a planning commission, of which Kerr was the head, mainly to contain this tremendous growth and expense that was looming on the horizon. And the master plan was the result of that, and it accomplished not only a systematic apparatus for admissions of large numbers of students, but also maintained this very delicate balance between high quality and mass access, which is that's the genius of the plan.
One university president was quoted today saying Clark Kerr did for higher education what Henry Ford did for the automobile. He led the university system during a time of tremendous growth, but it was also a very turbulent period. How did he handle the free speech movement and the anti-war protests that exploded at Berkeley in the 1960s?
Well, Kerr was not Berkeley chancellor when the real troubles began. And the Berkeley administration, I don't know how to put it briefly, sort of blew it when it came to dealing with the protests that it was unfamiliar with over its whole history. And Kerr, in a way, kind of stepped into the breach as, you might say, as I wouldn't call him a backstop, but he came as the person who inherited this. And he was confronted with an absolute movement with absolute values on the left and an absolute reaction and counter-revolution on the right. He did everything he could, and he did it well. But the historical forces at work were so strong that even such a master of peacemaking and accommodation could not survive.
He was removed from office in 1967 by Governor Ronald Reagan. In a nutshell, why was he removed? Why didn't he survive?
He didn't survive because he was the victim of a wider polarization in the larger society in which he became the major symbol and the major scapegoat of vilification by both left and right.
In reading about him, he was educated himself in a one-room schoolhouse. He went on to lead this quite large university system. What is his legacy?
His legacy is mainly in the master plan. That institutional invention, of which he was the architect and the engineer and the executor, still stands firmly in place in California. And it has been, over the 40-some-odd years of its existence, the envy of the world. And it's been emulated not only in this country but abroad, and still stands firmly in place.
Neil Smelser is University Professor of Sociology Emeritus at the University of California, Berkeley. He was speaking to us about Clark Kerr, who ran the University of California system in the 1950s and 1960s. Clark Kerr died yesterday in El Cerrito, California, at the age of 92. Professor Smelser, thank you so much.
And I thank you.